This is Mishmash, a weekly conversation where we try to unjumble an important and sometimes under the radar statewide story that affects you. I'm Shayna Roth. And this week I have a very special guest, really an icon in Michigan politics. Michigan Senator Debbie Stabenow is here to dig into what is going on in Michigan and on a national level. Senator Stabenow, welcome to Mishmash.
It's great to be with you.
Let's start off with a bill that's kind of your baby, the farm bill. It flies under the radar, but it is so important. It's something that you've taken really a leading role on for many years now. So first of all, can you explain to our listeners what the farm bill is for people who aren't familiar and why it's so important for Michigan especially?
So it's the big question. What's the farm bill? It's something we write every 5 years. I chair the committee. I've led on three of them. I've actually been involved and voted on six of them. So I've been around for a while. But basically, we start out from the standpoint that this is the five-year investment in rural America, in supporting our farmers, in protecting our land and water resources. Most of the land in our country is privately owned, and this is how we help landowners and farmers and so on protect our land and water and forests. And then over the years, we have combined it, I think, really importantly, with those who are needing food assistance, food help, what we call SNAP, this Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. And we fund farmers markets and local food systems. And so we've been bringing together urban and rural. One of the things that's been a part of my initiatives is urban agriculture. And in the last bill, I set up an office of urban agriculture. And in Detroit area, actually, we have the leaders in urban agriculture in the country. I can tell you that because I've been around the country talking to folks, and just met with folks the other day about their challenges and how we can continue to support them through the Farm Bill. But I should tell you that back in 2011, when I became chair for the first time of the Senate Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry Committee, Detroit was really pushing. Everybody was pushing on Detroit, the comeback of Detroit, all kinds of great things happening. And I was trying to figure out, how do I help Detroit from a predominantly rural economic development committee? And then I thought, farmers markets. Eastern Market is the longest continuously operated farmers market in the country. It's an economic engine for food, for small businesses and so on. So I started really, I tripled the amount of money for farmers markets, and we have worked to create kitchen incubators for our folks that are at the market that want to, you know, be able to make more and then go into their own retail shop. And we're seeing all kinds of things happening around Detroit and across Michigan. We are seeing all kinds of things happening. So it's really important. It's about healthy food. We in Michigan have led on that. There's something called Double Up Bucks, where if people on food assistance buy fresh fruits and vegetables, they get double the value of their benefit. This was started in Michigan, and I was able to take it nationally as now part of the Farm Bill. So it's a very, very important piece of legislation.
And as you mentioned, it's a five-year bill, and it's actually set to expire in a little over a month. And I think some stakeholders are starting to get a little antsy. What is the status of the bill right now as Congress is in its summer recess?
Well, I've been working on this every single day, my team and I. And I should say, I've been involved in six farm bills. None of them got done exactly on time. Usually it's extended a bit. So technically, you know, the Farm Bill runs out September 30th, but we'll have this done by the end of the year. It really isn't going to impact anything. And so we're working very hard on that. It's interesting. There's politics, and unfortunately, it's gotten so much more partisan around food, where there are folks on the Republican side trying to cut the nutrition part of the Farm Bill, take money out of the nutrition part, the food assistance help, to have it go to other parts that they care more about. There's also an ongoing struggle always between big Southern farms and sort of everybody else, the Midwest and so on. And so coming from Michigan, where we grow more fruits and vegetables and specialty crops than any other state but California, we have dairy, we have everything. So I've been really involved in broadening the support for small growers, big growers, fruit and vegetables, dairy, as well as traditional corn and soybeans and wheat and so on. And so it's as much of a struggle between regions usually as anything else. And I've been the first person in a long, long, long time that wasn't from the South leading these committees. And so I've pulled this back to support fruits and vegetables and other things.
You brought a Midwestern sensibility to it.
I did. I brought a Midwestern sensibility. So
new from the Embedded podcast, female athletes have always needed grit and talent, but for decades, they've also needed a certificate.
There was chit chat about, is that really a woman?
And even now, they're still being checked and questioned. Their story is the newest series from CBC and NPR's Embedded. It's called Tested. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
You obviously made a big stir earlier this year when you announced you were not going to run in the 2024 election. Obviously, 2024 is coming up faster than I think a lot of us are prepared for. How do you think Michigan Democrats are set up for this upcoming election?
Oh, I think we're in a great position. And first, let me just say, it really, really has been my honor to serve Michigan in many different roles in public service. When I was in college, I never started out thinking I was going to go this direction. And I got involved in a community effort to save a nursing home in the Lansing area. And one thing led to another. And people encouraged me to go on the County Board of Commissioners. These were the folks trying to close the nursing home. We protected the nursing home, but then I went on to find that my path really was, in terms of helping the community and working on issues, really was through the public sector, trying to make systems work, trying to make government actually work for people. And so I've really focused on that the whole time. And so for me, I'm at a point now for a number of reasons where I think it's time to pass the torch. We have wonderful leaders in Michigan. You need to know when to pass the torch and mentor somebody else. And I think this is my time to do that. And then coupled with the fact that personally, I have a 97-year-old mom, God bless her, who's doing great. But, you know, time takes on a different feeling, you know, with when you have a 97-year-old mom. And so I want, as well as my grandkids. So it's an important time for me personally to have a little more flexibility, but it's also very important to me to pass the torch.
And talk a little bit more about passing the torch. Who are some of the young leaders that you are inspired by?
Well, look across, I mean, Michigan, my goodness. And, you know, so exciting to see all of the women leaders that have come behind me. You know, when I was in the state house, there were 8 of us state reps, no state senators, nobody statewide, nobody in Congress. It was a very different time. And so to have, you know, our governor and lieutenant governor, or the secretary of state and attorney general be people bringing great diversity and strength in leadership. And the same thing in the state legislature, you know, first woman Senate majority leader in the state Senate, Winnie Brinks, and an African-American Speaker of the House, Joe Tate, who's doing a wonderful job. And then the congressional delegation, you know, we have a lot of leaders. We do not have to worry about what's coming next, because we've got a lot of wonderful leaders coming up and many, you know, many, many people that are interested in serving.
Talk to me more about the upcoming 2024 election. I know right now Democrats have this trifecta, which they haven't had in a very long time, where they have the House and the Senate and the governor's office. Is that looking like something they're going to be repeating? And how tough is it going to be to fight off Republicans for that?
It's in the interest of people of Michigan to make sure we keep this current state legislature and the governorship and the team going, because we have seen more things happen. They're putting people first now in a way that we've not seen in a long, long time. And the first thing they did was repeal the pension tax and give, you know, low-income working people a tax cut. And they focused on restoring workers' rights. And To this day, I'm so grateful for the fact that, you know, after the Michigan State University shooting, and by the way, on top of shootings that happen every single day, but the mass shootings that have happened, and within 2 weeks, this Democratic State House and Senate were holding hearings. Within a month, they were passing common sense gun safety laws to protect our children. And so there's a huge difference. I could go on and on and on. Working in mental health with the governor and the state legislature, you know, we are expanding community behavioral health clinics that are fully funded as healthcare, just point after point after point, bringing down healthcare costs and so on, creating new jobs. We've got, you know, over 22,000 new manufacturing jobs. So I hope people are going to say, you know, I like this direction. It's not the trickle down economics of old where every problem can be solved by a tax cut for folks at the top. It's actually talking about growing the middle class and cutting costs.
What are some of your priorities going to be sort of as you end your time in Washington?
Well, I am running through the tape for sure. In terms of the job, I have not slowed down a bit. In fact, in some ways, even busier, because I'm trying to make sure that the things I've worked on for so long are locked into place and that there are advocates to follow, to pick up the torch on issues. Of course, I've got to get a five-year farm bill done, which is very, very important. I've been leading the efforts on the Great Lakes for years, from the ban on oil and gas drilling in the Great Lakes to setting up this national fund now called the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative that has resources available to deal with all the different challenges that we have. So I'm working on how do we lock down those things. The Sioux Locks, I've been leading the effort to get a second Sioux Lock, which is a whole nother story. And that because if the one lock up there right now broke down economically, we'd be devastated. We're on phase three. I've got the money for it. I'm now looking like, how do we have the other folks, who's going to champion this to take it to the end? And the same thing on clean energy manufacturing. You know, I've obviously the home team, I always tell people, we make things and grow things in Michigan. And so that's why I have been so involved in supporting the autos and manufacturing and agriculture, because that's what we do. But I want to make sure that keeps going as well. My Made in America office is finally instituted with President Biden's support. We're bringing jobs home and creating more jobs here. So I'm trying to lock in all of these pieces as much as I can in terms of long-term policy and fundraising. And then, of course, back to behavioral health, mental health and addiction services have been my passion. And I want to make sure that the transformation I've been able to start, again, is really locked in Michigan and across the country, so that we're not going to ever go back to this funding mental health and addiction with grants that stop and start. So this needs to be part of healthcare. And that's what we're doing.
I know you won't be running in the 2024 election, but do you plan to be involved and to be helping get out the word for the Democratic candidates?
Once our primary is over, I am going to be all in. That is for sure. There is a really important story to tell about the difference in values, putting people first versus power, the differences in terms of getting things done for people. I think it's a really, really important story that I'm going to be very proud to help tell going into the fall.
And I know we're still a ways away, but any big plans for life after Washington?
I'm definitely going to be in Michigan. Folks have said, oh, you know, where are you going to be? I said, there's no question. I'm born and raised in Michigan, and I'm definitely going to be here in Michigan. And I know I have no interest in running again for office. I've done my public elective office, public service, but I'm going to stay engaged in issues because, that's what I care about. And I want to make sure that we're doing everything we can for my kids and your kids and grandkids and you know, that we're really keeping Michigan strong.
Senator Stabenow, anything else you want to leave us with?
Well, I'm glad to talk to you. And from my perspective, I mean, we, with all the ups and downs and challenges that we have right now and people trying to divide us, this is still, I believe, the best state and the best country in the world, and we just got to work together and respect each other and care about each other. And that's how we get things done.
Senator Stabenow, thank you so much for joining me here today on Mishmash.
My great pleasure.
Mishmash is produced by WDET, Detroit's NPR station. This episode was produced by myself, Shayna Roth, and Hearns Laguerre Jr. Our news director is Jerome Vaughn, and our podcast manager is David Lyons. Our digital team is Dave Kim and Sophia Joswiak, with additional help from Jack Philbrandt. As always, if you listen to this show and want to support it, you can do so by leaving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Or if you really, really like this show, you can support WDET. Just go to WDET.org/give. Without your support, really, shows like this one and all of the great work that WDET does just would not be possible. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.